This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. I'm your host, Nick Berlansky, joined as always by Nick Horwat. We got a pretty good show for you guys today. We obviously have to start off with the biggest news surrounding the Pittsburgh Penguins, a team that has lost seven of their last eight games, and that is the relatively underwhelming performance of the Penguins' core four. And that is obviously Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Erik Karlsson, and Chris Letang. So we'll discuss their performance over the last handful of games and why it feels like they've kind of given up, as Horwat, you've texted me. But we're also going to have our, you know, annual, semi-annual, whatever you want to call it, our 3M segment, must sign, maybe sign, and move on. It's a very interesting class of free agents this year for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we'll go through all 10 of them, the ones that have played at least an NHL game this season, or the ones that we're going to discuss in the second segment. And then the GM show every other week, it always provides some sparks. It always provides some insight from general manager Kyle Dubas and host Josh Getzoff. We're going to talk a little bit about him once again backing Mike Sullivan and why this time it's starting to feel a little different, at least in my eyes. But we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. Let's start with the core right now, because Horwat, like I mentioned, Pens have lost seven of their last eight games. Of those seven losses, two of them were shutout losses. They've allowed four goals per game over that stretch while scoring only 1.1 goals per game. And a big part of that is the core starting to struggle mightily at this point of the season. What do you make of their performance over the past few weeks?
It's not ideal. I don't want to come out and straight up kind of say that they're giving up. They're throwing in the white towel, or waving the white flag. I don't want to like start with all of that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll hint to it if things continue. But things have just gotten ugly for them, straight up. It appears like they've given up. There are certain times and spaces and little pockets of the game where it does kind of look like that. I mean, you consider Crosby's at a real threat to lose his point per game thing record, the consecutive years. He's at a real threat. I think he's even right now in 63 mm-hmm. games. It's got 63 points, whatever the number is.
Yep, 64. Yep.
Yeah. Whenever you only have 2 points in eight games or whatever it may be, that's going to happen. Aside from that one game against Columbus, Malkin has been invisible for months. Not even this stretch, for months. He's got two goals and he's got two goals since his bobblehead goal counter came out. Fans have not been able to use that thing. And Chris Letang, Erik Karlsson, I don't know what to make of anymore. I think that's just something we're going to have to punt into next season and get back to. But Chris Letang also, for as good as he's been defensively this year, has been on the ice for numerous goals against, and not just goals against, game-winning goals against mm-hmm. in each of these games. We think of that in the opening seconds against Edmonton, pass tape-to-tape directly to Connor McDavid, exactly the guy you want to give that to. Mm-hmm. Or Calgary, blowing that game wide open with whatever that was. I'll give him that in Calgary, at least it was less egregious. It was kind of, he got caught flat-footed with someone bearing down on him. Still, you can't have that play happen. And again, being a direct cause for multiple game-winning goals against in this stretch, it's the wrong guys making the wrong mistakes. It is the biggest names on your roster just looking abysmal. Mm.
Yeah, Chris Letang looking like a revolving door is never a good thing, and that's what he looked like on that Nazem Kadri goal. But, I mean, the stats that were put out there by Josh Yowie of The Athletic, they loom pretty large over this eight-game, you know, drought for the Penguins. Crosby, 0 goals, 2 assists. He's been outscored 12-1 at 5-on-5 in that stretch. Evgeny Malkin, 2 goals, 2 assists. He's the leader of these four, which... what could you imagine saying that a couple months back? In the last 8 games, he has 2 goals, 2 assists. He's been outscored 8-4, which is the best split at 5-on-5 of these four. Chris Letang on the ice has scored 1 goal, 0 assists. Outscored 12-2, so him and Crosby in the same boat. And Erik Karlsson, 1 assist in the last 8 games, outscored 6-2. These four are supposed to be the four that whenever everything else shuts down, whenever everything else goes wrong, the buck needs to stop with them. They need to be the ones to really stem the tide. And yeah, to a certain extent, it can be unfair when the rest of the team has struggled as much as the rest of the Penguins team has struggled this season. But at a certain point, that's what you're getting paid for. That's why you're the leaders in the room. And that's why, you know, Chris Letang was given that 6-year contract to come back. That's why Evgeny Malkin was given that 4-year contract to come back. That's why the Penguins brought Erik Karlsson in to add to that group of players that when everything else is going wrong, you can count on them to try to turn the tide. And they just haven't done it. And that's why you've seen probably one of the worst stretches of the past half decade over this last 2 weeks. 7 losses in 8. They only have 1 win in the calendar, you know, month of March, and that's against a lowly Columbus Blue Jackets teams. Things could get even worse if they lose tonight to the San Jose Sharks, but I think the biggest thing to me when looking at these four and looking at the performance they've had, the realization that they can't save their season has hit them like a ton of bricks. You look back at last season, we were talking in the final week of the season after that after the Chicago game saying, wow, it's really weird. They have a meaningless game in the regular season for the first time in basically their entire careers. Now we're looking at it, we're at March 14th. They're about to have 18 meaningless games because they are out of the playoff contention. No matter how many times Sullivan says, well, you know, we're still technically in it. You know, no matter how many times anybody in the locker room says, yeah, we're still technically in it. Yeah, you know what? By mathematics, you're technically in it. But I think everybody and their mother knows, including everybody that does percentage chance of making the playoffs, that has you at 3% chance. Everybody knows that the Penguins are not going to be playing playoff hockey. And you know, to a certain extent, the players in the locker room know that. And it's hit them very, very hard. And it's been starting to show on the ice.
Yeah, you think back to those numbers that they would have to go on, that run that they would have to make to set themselves up nicely to make the playoffs. Whenever it was right after that 3-game losing streak before Dubas's first presser in the middle of the season, mm-hmm. I think it was Bob Grove tweeted they need 96 points, which would equal out to about a 33-18-5 record. I've been keeping track of that since. Mm-hmm. They are 17-15-6. They would essentially need to win out.
Yeah.
You can't take any more OTLs and you can't lose more than 3 times in the next 18 games. Listen, the Penguins have been a phenomenal team in March over the last 2 decades almost. Mm-hmm. Something about this March has gotten ugly and they would essentially have to win out, and that's just to get to the average. So I don't know what it's going to take for them to be mathematically eliminated. That's something that we'll probably all be discussing in April, unless it's happened before then, unless the schedule makers know. But the guys that wear skates and stand behind the bench, they're going to say they're going for it because they have to. Mm-hmm. If they have, they're, I believe, in the 8th position for a draft pick right now.
8th or 9th. They've been bouncing around there over the last week.
And as of right now, they're holding on to that top 10 draft pick. Hey, you know what? It takes a lot of simulations to see the Penguins win it, but it's not out of the question that they're suddenly looking at Macklin Celebrini. And obviously that's still a long shot, but hell, we'll see where these odds get to by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe Tidja Ginla is right there around 8, 9. That'd be a fun prospect. You know, Sidney Crosby plays with Jerome and then plays with his son. But, you know, that's conversations for another day. The question I want to ask you here before we move on, talk about our 3M segment, is do you still believe this core can win a Stanley Cup? The core four of Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and Carlson. Do you think those four could be a core that carries the Penguins to a Stanley Cup here in the next couple seasons?
You know, I do. I do think so. They're going to need a lot of help with them. I mean, and also they got to find their skill again. They got to find their footing. I think we all know Crosby can get there. We all know he can bounce back. He can bounce back before the season's over and put together a fine little season. Evgeny Malkin might be a question mark. You may have to figure something out with him. Chris Letang can probably bounce back pretty nicely, and Erik Karlsson still has a lot left in the tank. If you can surround those four with good pieces going, which in reality is adding free agents and trades in an off season, as much as you know the kind of player you're getting, you just never. It is much like a draft pick. It is a bag of magic beans if it's going to work. Mm-hmm. We saw Kyle Dubas come in last summer and put together a team that he thought would work, that we all thought would work, and it hasn't. Okay, now he's got to do it again and hope it clicks. It's going to be tough. I like the nitty-gritty outline that he's putting together so far. Like the idea of Michael Bunting for a couple more seasons. Like the idea of Sam Poulin maybe coming up next year. I like the idea of these younger guys getting more chances. It'll be interesting to see what kind of moves happen throughout the summer.
Yeah, the Penguins this year have been a stellar goaltending team, to be completely honest. I don't want to say defensive team because they haven't been a good defensive team. Their blue line is basically in shambles when it comes to playing their actual position, but they've been pretty good at not allowing goals. That's the best way to put it. And simply because Tristan Jarry's had one of his better seasons, Alex Nedeljkovic has come in and been a very good, very solid backup, and the penalty kill's been good. That's essentially what it is. But their goal scoring needs to be increased tenfold, and you mentioned. Whoever you're bringing in the offseason, even if that's a player with a proven track record, a la Riley Smith, the fit might not be perfect. Yeah. The fit might not work, and it didn't this season for Riley Smith. And you look at Ricard Raquel, who's had a down year. Just a lot of things going in the wrong direction for the Penguins this season, going in an unexpected direction, and you have more players falling off than you do stepping up. Like I said, we can not look at this season and say nobody stepped up to the plate. Drew O'Connor is having a career season and a breakout season at that. You look at what Valtteri Puustinen's been able to do with his first taste of NHL action. The only problem is from where they started to where they are, even though it's a great step, it's not enough to make up for the fact that, you know, Brian Rust missed substantial time. Jake Guentzel was on injured reserve. You know, Ricard Raquel struggled and then was on injured reserve. Riley Smith struggled and then was on injured reserve. So it's obviously going to be a difficult task, but I think going back to the core question here of do you believe the core as it's constructed could win a Stanley Cup? I do, because I think that a lot of this is, you know, reactionary to Guentzel being gone, or at least being to the point where you know Guentzel was going to be gone after he got injured on February 14th, 1 month ago, and knowing that, yeah, the odds are stacked against you, and it's unlikely, knowing what they were able to do only in the first 50 games, that it was unlikely that they were going to be able to turn it on at the snap of their finger and all of a sudden be a world beater team that's going to go in there, going to make a tremendous stride and going to get back into the postseason. I think that hit these guys like a ton of bricks. And like I mentioned, last year was the first time that they had a meaningless game. It was one game. This year, it's over a month filled with meaningless games. This is not a team that has been in the position to say, well, at least we can play spoiler to some of these better teams. It's unfamiliar territory. It's unproven ground, like you mentioned in a story the other day on Inside the Penguins. It is very much a new feel for these guys that have always been in the playoffs or always been in contention for the playoffs up until the very last second of the season. So it's certainly going to be an interesting month to see how they respond. But these last eight games, I think we can all agree, it's not a good look when your core four are that, you know, inconsequential, I think is the best word to use. Not that they've played poorly. Some of them have had some decent performances here and there. You mentioned Malkin against Columbus. That was a really good game for him. but for the most part, they've been rendered inconsequential in a lot of these games, and that's just something that you hate to see, especially for a core four that is so proud about their performances and so proud of what they built here in Pittsburgh. To see it start to, you know, shrivel a little bit here in the last month of the season is certainly a tough pill to swallow, but you know, nonetheless, I expect them, you expect them to be better next year, or at the very least be as good as they were earlier this year. I think Chris Letang, the wheels have just fallen off, because what's the point of trying your hardest to be the defensive defenseman all night long, all season long? It's hard to keep that up, and especially when you're fighting a losing battle. Now, again, is it an excuse? No, you're being paid a lot of money to go out there and perform. Evgeny Malkin said as much a couple weeks ago, saying, you know, he apologized to the fans. You know, we should play better for you because you've come out here and paid good money to watch us play hockey. Whether we're in first place or last place, you pay to watch them play hockey, and that's the reason that people are in the building. So, you know, the core has struggled, but I do think that it's still a core that is capable of winning a Stanley Cup, but everything around them needs to be much, much better. That's on Kyle Dubas, but we'll talk about him in a little bit. Speaking of what's around them, though, let's get into our 3M segment right after this break.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. We bring back one of our favorite recurring segments here, Horwat. 3Ms, must sign, maybe sign, and move on. We'll jump right into it. 10 players that have played at the NHL level this season, at least in a game, are looking for a new contract this summer. We're going to go through all of them and say whether the Penguins must sign them, maybe should sign them, or should probably move on. Let's start with the oldest of the bunch, 39-year-old, soon-to-be 40-year-old at the end of 2024, Jeff Carter, on an expiring deal making a little over $3 million. Horwat, 3Ms, which one are you going with Mr. Carter?
Well, isn't this the easiest one?
There's easier ones, I think, but yeah.
Fair enough. Well, this one, I feel like, also doesn't necessarily fall into any of these categories. It is sort of his decision to call it a career, hang up the skates, all of that ceremonial mumbo jumbo. It's probably just the end of the road for Jeff Carter. I mean, the legs aren't there anymore. The scoring touch isn't there anymore. I don't know what else he could provide to this team. I know Kyle Dubas didn't totally shut the door on it, but that's just something you're going to do as general manager with a player who's on the verge of retiring. Heading into the year, Carter said he wasn't looking that far ahead. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a question for him in a couple of weeks, and then we'll see where things go from there. I just say this will really, if out of these three, it's going to be move on. In reality, though, I feel like this one's just more of a, it's an R. It's a retirement. It's not his own choice.
Yeah, I would say move on. I mean, even if he's saying, you know what, I feel like I got 1 year left in me. You say, okay, well, go do that in LA. Or
yeah,
go do that in Philly or somewhere else. I just feel like, especially with Kyle Dubas, you know, starting the directive of we need to get younger, bringing back a guy that's soon to be 40 is certainly spitting in the face of that directive. So I would say you move on. Let him retire. Let him walk off into the sunset, which is why I would also say just keep him in the lineup the rest of the season. I mean, you don't have much to gain.
Yeah.
Let him ride off into the sunset with, you know, 16, 18, whatever it is, more games of his NHL career. So Jeff Carter, move on. You say Jeff Carter, just retire.
Move on, yeah. It's move a move on, on technically.
Yeah. So let's move over to some younger players here on the list. Restricted free agent forward Emil Bemström, just acquired by the Penguins about a month ago. Must sign, maybe sign, or move on, Horwat?
oh man, I just haven't seen him enough to really get a feel for what he's really going to do. Mm-hmm. So I'd say you must sign him just because, well, first of all, he's an RFA, so it's a little tougher to sort of negotiate. But you sign him to something short and cheap, and next thing you know, you got maybe a decent little depth piece there. And who knows what he can do with a team revamped heading into the next season of trying to bounce back after this year.
Mm-hmm. I saw more from Ryan Poehling than I did from Emil Bäckström.
Oh, same, and I wanted to keep Poehling around.
Yes, and they moved on from Poehling. So move on from... I can't believe there was ever a third-round pick on the line with this player. I've seen absolutely no life from Emil Bäckström. Now, he's come into a team that has had very little life to begin with, so that much I can't take, you know, too hard against him, but I think you move on from Emil Bäckström. I think you have players in the organization now that could fill that role, and it doesn't take much to empty that space. You look at where the Penguins are at right now. Yeah, we'd like to see them call up a Poulin, Ponomarev, but mm-hmm. You know, they only have 3 call-ups for 1, and for 2, there's not a lot of spaces. Why? Because you have a guy like Emil Bäckström clogging things up. You have a guy like Jansen Harkins before his injury clogging things up, and we'll get to him in a second. So, you know what? I'm perfectly fine moving on from Emil Bäckström. You know, offloading Alex Nylander for him wasn't really much to call home about. Nylander was never really going to get another shot with the Penguins anyway at the NHL level, but, you know, it's a waste of a 6th-round pick. When you're talking about asset management, I don't see Bäckström being part of the solution next season. But again, I could be proven wrong. It's only been a handful of games. I just haven't seen much from EB. Valtteri Puustinen, this one I think is pretty easy. Must sign.
Yeah, absolutely. Without doubt. Sure, the scoring hasn't been there this year, but it's only a matter of time before that finally wakes up, and then we start to see that level of production increase. Mm-hmm. I got no notes here. Just you got to sign him and let him take the ball for a full season.
Yeah, Kyle Dubas mentioned that he's come up here and he's proven that he belongs at the NHL level. He said that on the GM show yesterday. I think that I agree. I think that I'd like to see him make the team out of camp next year, and I'd like to see where he ends up slotting in. You know, he probably playing a slot above where he should, but also, you know, you look at the third line right now and it hasn't been good enough. And when he was on the third line, he struggled to even find assists. When he's in the top 6, at least, he's been picking up assists. He's been creating offense. But I think part of that is maturity, and I think that you've seen him mature a little bit over this season. Played a lot more games than I had initially thought when I went back and looked at the tape. Went back and looked at his numbers. But I would say that it's pretty cut and dry with an RFA and Valtteri Puustinen. You must re-sign him. Jansen Harkins. This one's going to be interesting, Horwat. 3 M's, Jansen Harkins.
Is it going to be interesting? You don't think you just move on from him like you should have months ago?
I'm in between on him. I don't think he's a must sign. He's 100% not a must sign, but I think maybe you sign him back. I don't hate Jansen Harkins as a 13th forward call-up type of option. What I do mind Jansen Harkins is can't be a fixture. Like that, if he's a fixture in the lineup like he's been this year, you can't have that. Like, you can't fall in love with a guy that can't score a goal at all. Has rarely been close. He had a penalty shot, 2 games ago, 3 games ago, whenever it was, penalty shot, and he missed the net entirely.
Moments
before he got hurt. So I think maybe you sign him, and for the reason I have him as a maybe sign is Jonathan Gruden. Is Jonathan Gruden ready to take that role? And if he is, then you let Jansen Harkins go to the wayside. If you don't think Jonathan Gruden's ready, then maybe you bring back Jansen Harkins on a leagueman deal to be your 13th forward, your injury call-up number 1, whatever he is. But if Jonathan Gruden is ready, and I think Jonathan Gruden is a must-sign, he's also up on a contract, he's an RFA, if he's ready to take Jansen Harkins' role, then you move on from Jansen Harkins. That's my kind of qualifier here with Harkins.
I don't know. I just can't. You're right. He cannot be a fixture, period, point blank. I would say I'd rather have Gruden in the lineup over him. You know what? He has more goals.
Well, there's that.
In fewer games. Also, did we forget Matt Nieto's still sort of floating around here? Even he has more goals than Jansen Harkins in this lineup. So I get, as a fourth line player, you're kind of not supposed to score, but I don't know. Once every once in a while would be nice.
You're not supposed to score like 15 goals, but 5 to 7 would be nice.
One would also
be nice. So Jonathan Gruden, I'm assuming that means you're a must sign on Jonathan Gruden again.
I think so, yeah. Especially if you can keep that roster flexibility with him.
Yeah.
On bumping him back and forth between the leagues. That's just the way I look at it. I think he can provide something someday. He's one of those young futures, too. He might be a good piece to have in the depth a couple of years down the line.
Yeah, I like Jonathan Gruden. And also a reminder, a lot of these guys aren't going to command all that much. Correct. A lot of them are restricted free agents, which means they can't really go out and test the market and then come back and try to use that. And honestly, also, a lot of them haven't played a lot of NHL games. So, you know, Jonathan Gruden, Valtteri Puustinen, they're not going to break the bank, especially with the NHL salary cap expected to go up. So I'm must signing Jonathan Gruden as well. Two other forwards here, and I think that one is very easy. Radim Zahorna, this is the easiest one to me. Move on from Radim Zahorna. If you want him as an AHL piece, fine, but he should not play in the NHL next season.
Absolutely. He's a UFA, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, I'd say that's enough of that. The second experiment was fine. I got it. I understood it. There was some familiarity between the organization and the GM of all people. Clearly, it didn't work out, and I think we saw that it's pretty well and over once he got sent back to the AHL and hasn't been brought back in any way, shape, or form since. Guys like Vinny Henestrosa and Jonathan Gruden, even Joona Koponen, have seen recalls since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of Vinny Henestrosa, he's next on the list, the final forward on the list here. He is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. Must sign, maybe sign, or move on from Vinny Henestrosa.
You know what? For the role that he played, I didn't hate him. I'm going to go with a maybe just because if you can, again, get that roster flexibility with him where he's able to fly back and forth, I don't think he's been able to as much, but still, I'd say that's a quality depth piece that he's a good player to have in your organization, so I'm going to go with a maybe. There might still be something he can provide, but it's a question mark, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to go maybe sign on Vinny Henestrosa. Kyle Dubas has mentioned several times that he wants Wilkes-Barre Scranton to be competitive, and part of that is having veteran players, whether that be just saying veteran or AHL qualifications as veteran players. That's a good thing for Wilkes-Barre, and they've certainly been a better team this year than they have in years past, and part of that is Vinny Henestrosa. So I'm going to say maybe sign with Henestrosa as well. Let's move over to the defense. Only two names on this list, starting with restricted free agent Pierre-Olivier Joseph. P.O. Joseph, 3 M's. What are you thinking, Horwat?
That's a tough one. I was almost fairly certain P.O. Joseph would have gotten dealt at the deadline, although I thought a lot of guys were going to get traded. I think because you have that roster protection in there, you have sort of a good use for him. Maybe you sign him to a deal and then make sure the doors stay open for a trade afterwards. Make sure that that is still a path that can be explored. I wouldn't be surprised to see an extension. I also wouldn't be surprised to see them kick the can out entirely and just say, I don't know that that's enough of that. I'd say he's a must sign, though, just because you might still be able to recoup assets in return in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Plus, when it comes to making the team younger, he's a 24-year-old defenseman who might be able to kick it. Who knows?
I mean, he showed promise last season. He did. He had a really good year in his first full year at the NHL level. This year, he's bouncing in and out of the lineup. He struggled to find a place on that left side with Ryan Graves commanding up space, with obviously Marcus Pettersson taking up space as well. John Ludvig trying to, you know, break out at the same time. It's been tough for P.O. Joseph this season. He hasn't had a really good showing. He's been bumped down to the third pairing once again following the trade deadline. Only if the Penguins make some serious moves up front do I think they bring him back, but I do think that for that reason he's a maybe sign. Like you mentioned, he's a young player. He still has some upside. I think the problem is, in this defense and the way it's currently constructed, there's not really much space for him to go. It's either third pairing and accept that role with volatile players on the other side. I mean, whenever he's playing with Chad Ruedel, that's the steadiest guy you could have. But again, there's question as to whether or not Chad Ruedel is a sixth defenseman or just primarily a seventh defenseman. If you bring in Maybe a guy like Jan Ruda, who he had some success with. I mean, I'm not saying bring in Jan Ruda, but somebody that could be solid on that side, hopefully for cheaper than what they signed Jan Ruda for. Maybe that can jumpstart Pio Joseph and give him a little bit of leeway, give him a little bit of flexibility, and he has a better season, more akin to what he did last year versus what he did this year. So maybe you sign him. And I think the same with Ryan Shea. He's an unrestricted free agent. I thought he was fine as that seventh defenseman call-up role, which is what he's back in again after the Ruedel trade. I don't think he's going to break the bank. I don't think he's going to be, you know, an everyday player for you, but he's certainly a guy that gives you organizational depth. And for that reason, I think that he should be a pretty good option for the Penguins going forward.
Yeah, he should be fine. Should be a fine player going forward, too. Earned his way into an NHL role, there's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think you keep him around another year and just keep on keeping on with what you've had in the first place. Good depth option and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough to nail these guys down this year. Everyone's kind of been not great.
Yeah, and the fact that a lot of these players on the 3M segment are depth players, or for the most part, a lot of them are AHL players for the majority of the season because they've been called up, they haven't worked out, and they've been sent back down. One player that has stayed at the NHL level all season long is goaltender in the last one in this segment. Alexander Nedeljkovic will be a unrestricted free agent. I'm saying, what's the price? If it is affordable, if it is similar to the number this year, bring him back. If it is much more, or even if it's over $2 million, don't bring him back. So, yeah, does he command a raise? I think maybe, but I also think he's playing to the contract that he's been given. So, if it's the same number for, even if it's for a couple years, maybe you sign him back. And then also, it depends on, you know, the status of Joel Blomqvist, who had his first AHL shutout of his career yesterday. So, where's Blomqvist? What's the price? That's what I'm asking on Alex Nedeljkovic. So, that's why I have him as a maybe.
Yeah, it's going to come down to Blomqvist, I think, really. Because is he ready for that jump to the NHL to be a backup? Maybe maybe run a trio of goalies rather than just a 1-2 punch. Who knows what kind of happens there. I know going into the season, the Penguins were pretty hard on making the... We have three good goalies, and you know, both... Dubas and Sullivan said it's rare that you go through a season without a goalie injury. Well, they really only had one, and it was Alex Nedeljkovic really early in the season. And they've been healthy ever since, knock on wood. Depends on where Joel Blomqvist is. Let's not forget Taylor Gauthier is down there in the ECHL right now, lighting it up. Mm-hmm. He could command a starting role at the AHL level next year and maybe fight for being that third string option if they go Jari Blomqvist. So... the Penguins are in a good situation when it comes to Alex Nedeljkovic, who I think my final answer is going to be let him go. Let him walk. Because he deserves to fight for an actual starting role in the league somewhere. If rumors are to be believed, he was that close to being moved at the deadline anyway. It makes no sense for him to return. And the Penguins like what they have in terms of depth goaltending. I mean, you have to build out a couple of pieces to fill in the gaps that are going to be left open by guys moving up. But I wouldn't be totally shocked to see a trio of Jari Blomqvist, Gauthier next season.
I think Gauthier might be pushing. I feel like they have to bring in a veteran.
Gauthier would be more of what Blomqvist was this year. That option that is there if break glass in case of emergency, but he's starting in the A.
Yeah. Fair enough. So that is the 3Ms, must sign, maybe sign, and move on for all 10 of the upcoming free agents, at least those that have played in the NHL this season. But there's obviously guys like Sam Poulin. There's other guys in the AHL that need new contracts, so we'll keep an eye on that as time goes on. But before we go, we have one quick segment left. Talk a little bit about Kyle Dubas backing Mike Sullivan again. We'll discuss that after the break.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. Horwat, there was a lot of things that always come out from these GM shows with Josh Getzoff, who's a friend of the show, and Penguins president of hockey operations and general manager Kyle Dubas. The big thing that has been a constant through every single one of them, I think there's been six, maybe seven this season, maybe a little bit less than that, but the one thing that's been a constant is Kyle Dubas backing Mike Sullivan as head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Pens have fallen flat this season. There's no disputing that. Part of that is due to the players. There have been some performances that have been lackluster and have been very much missing the mark. But coaching also is a major reason for their struggles. I mean, look no further than the lack of material change being made on the power play. You can change the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's still sunk. So I think part of that is coaching as well. And yet here we are yesterday, both me and you listening to the Highmark Coaches Show, that's the Highmark Coaches Show, the GM show, whoever sponsors that one, the general manager show. Kyle Dubas, this is his quote. If you don't have Sully, you're looking for Sully. And then he goes on to say, if you have it, you should keep it. So Horwat, what do you make of Dubas continuing to back Mike Sullivan, and especially with that quote of the fact that he views Sullivan as top tier?
I'm not sure if the Penguins really have Sullivan anymore. That's the thing, is that you have him, yes, but do you really have what your definition of Mike Sullivan is?
What you're paying for.
Yeah, it's this situation is turning into quite the anomaly, because most people are correct. Most of the things that have happened with the team this year would absolutely get a coach fired. There's no doubt about it. But, and I will continue to stand on this, the contract has not started yet, number one. Number two, I mean, you got to remember Fenway is legitimately the one that signed that deal. You have to remember that. Look at the press release from whenever that contract was signed 2 years in advance. Hextall had a quote in there, yes. But why did two different names from ownership have a quote? Why? And that's not... Don't get me wrong, ownership is going to have their hand in things. They are going to speak on signings. They're going to speak on player personnel, coach personnel, front office personnel. They're going to. It's rare that it's more than one name doing that. Mm-hmm. That should really show something, that Fenway Sports Group, the ownership group of this team, has a ton of backing in Sullivan. They're not going to be okay with anything like that anytime soon, at least. Give it a couple years. Give it a year. Like I said, this continues into next year, we can really have this conversation. Mm-hmm. I just think for right now, everyone in the ownership is going to back Mike Sullivan, and then everyone in the front office, and that includes Kyle Dubas behind a mic every time he speaks, puts his hat into the Mike Sullivan ring. In midseason, I think we had the discussion of, well, who are you going to get right now? Who is out there at this very moment? Maybe once Judgment Day comes for the NHL at the end of the season, come mid-April, whenever it is coach firing season. I doubt it'll be a lot like the NFL was this year, but that's when more names kind of pop out. Like, here are these options that are now available. I don't know what their contract situation is. I think they're up at the end of the year. Reardon and Volucci to be gone. That's enough of that. I could see the Penguins kicking the can down the road with Sullivan in terms of, we're going to keep Sullivan around because he has a deal. Here are two to three new faces to help support him, alongside of him. And then if that doesn't work out, then maybe you got to have that conversation. Like I said before, his seat isn't warm, it's on preheat.
Yeah.
Still there. Still preheating.
Yeah, the Penguins organization right now is an Airbnb. They handed the keys to the kingdom to Kyle Dubas and said, all of this is yours to change whichever way you want, But that's the owner's closet. And inside the owner's closet is Mike Sullivan and his contract. You don't touch what's in the owner's closet. What's outside of that, you can change. That's the roster. That's the lineup. That's everything. But Mike Sullivan's in there and Sidney Crosby's peeking out. Right?
Yes.
That's exact. Those are the off limits things for Kyle Dubas. And I don't know if that's great for an organization when it comes to the coaching side of things. You have to be able to pull the trigger when the trigger needs to be pulled. How many times has John Tortorella been fired? Right? How many times was Scotty Bowman fired? Right? How many times were a lot of great coaches fired? They've gone to a lot of different places because every coach has an expiration date. And I think what you're seeing is Mike Sullivan is vastly approaching that expiration date if he hasn't already passed it. Now, here's the thing. Even with Milk, depending on who you ask, that expiration date is a sell-by date. You have about 4 or 5 days after to drink it. That's where I think Mike Sullivan was the last couple seasons, where the message might have run dry a little bit, but still the team was in place to be able to execute whenever they needed to execute. I think you're far past it now. The team, if they're not executing it, the system's not going to do them any favors right now. And the fact that he has been unwilling to change a bulk majority of it, you can change the lines all you want. That's getting through a little bit. That's a little bit of change that we've seen from Sullivan this season. But when the core principles of the system aren't changing and yet they're failing night in and night out, I think that's when you start to realize, oh, this is far past the expiration date here. Now, here's the thing. You mentioned Volucci and Reardon. You bring in new assistants. That's new perspectives. If Sullivan is willing to utilize those perspectives to change what's happening on the ice, then maybe he pushes that expiration date back and he galvanizes the room simply because of the respect that the core and also just players around the league have for him. He is a player's coach. But if he doesn't change his perspectives, if he doesn't change his planning for on the ice and what's happening in the scheme, you're going to have the same issues day in and day out, no matter who comes in, unless you bring in some uber talented young players and you have to hit on every single one of them to be able to fit the mold perfectly. And that is making a hard task even harder for Kyle Dubas. So I don't know if it's really Dubas backing Mike Sullivan or if it's Dubas saying, listen, I came from MLSE. I know how to play the game. I know that they have their things up top that they don't want me touching, and this is one of them. So that's what it felt like to me, especially the more it goes on and the more you hear a quote like, if you don't have a Sully, you're looking for a Sully, which is not wrong, but if you have it, you should keep it. That one worries me because it's coaching in professional sports. Unless you're a college coach where you basically own the team, it should never be that way. That, hey, we have a really great coach. No matter what's happening on the ice, he's a really great coach and we should keep him. I just don't agree with that.
It will just be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I just haven't put much thought into it just because I don't want to say I've blinded myself to what Sullivan has done this year, but essentially because I know he's not going anywhere because of the way Fenway is, I just haven't given any thought to it. I haven't looked into what he is or isn't changing. I'm just looking to see the wins and losses. Just because I know the details. I know the details of the legitimacy of him getting fired is slim to none right now. Yeah. So I haven't really looked into what is he doing right and wrong. And that's not a good situation for viewers to be in either. Or, you know, people that cover the team to be in. Because they should be able to look at Sullivan critically. I just haven't been able to do that because I can't bring myself to do it. Because it's going to feel like I'm just speaking hot air into nothing. So that's why every time we discuss him on here, I've been very, it doesn't matter. And nothing that we say matters right now because of the whole situation. Again, once the new contract starts, I'll start paying attention a little more. I'll start really, you know, nailing down more firm opinions on it. Just as of right now, I don't see anything happening.
Yeah. It's hard to see anything happening, especially like you mentioned, with so many instances this season where, oh, that game would have gotten a coach fired. That performance should get a coach fired. Yep. That should get a coach fired. Man, this whole season should get a coach fired. And yet, it's been nothing but public support day in and day out for Mike Sullivan. You know, I don't dislike him as a coach. I think he's a good coach.
Not at all, yeah.
You know, at a certain point, every coach's message runs dry. And I don't know if it has with the locker room, but there's been certain games where you've watched it and you said, nobody on that ice is doing anything to play to the system. Nobody on that ice is doing anything or looks motivated at all. And that falls on coaching. And at the end of the day, You know, if next season starts and they struggle, I don't know how you don't consider that if you're FSG, because you missed two playoffs in a row. You haven't won a playoff series since 2018. You can't change the entire lineup once the season starts. You can't change the entire lineup. They're going to do that over the summer for the third straight summer. At some point, it's one of the guys that has been around the whole time, and it's not the guy that scored 93 points last year. It's not the guy that scored 83 points last year and still has some juice left in him, and it's not the two all-world, potentially Hall of Fame defensemen. It's the coach. So, you know, like you said, I guess we just got to watch. But,
yeah. You
know, I've been on the same train as you that it doesn't seem like anything that's plausible, or at least in the cards, no matter how bad this ship goes, you know, how far it sinks this season. So why spend too much time on it? But, you know, the continued backing and that quote yesterday, I said, you know, we gotta touch on this, because it really feels like the Airbnb situation where it's stay out of the owner's closet and Mike Sullivan sitting in there in a recliner with a cigar watching highlights from 2016 and 17. But
aren't we all?
Yeah, aren't we all, honestly. And honestly, speaking of that, I want to give a shout out to Jordan DeFigio, former guest on the show, multiple guests on the show. She's right now on Twitter every day putting a goal from one of the three Stanley Cup runs. That's going to make me feel good for the remainder of this season. Watching a goal a day yesterday was game one of the 2009 playoffs against the Flyers. I believe it was a Crosby goal. You know, it's nice to look back and reminisce, because right now what we're seeing on the ice and what we might see on the ice tonight at 7 p.m. against the San Jose Sharks, it hasn't been pretty, and tonight it could go off the rails, but... You know, let's leave you with that happy notion. That's going to do it for this episode of The Tip of the Iceberg. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Special if you stuck around, a little bit of a longer episode. I know we've been trying to keep them shorter, but a lot of information in this one. Went over a lot of different things surrounding the Penguins team. So hopefully you enjoy the episode. We'll be back next time. Have a great day, guys.